And we're going to begin reading in verse number 13 and read down through a ways. And we're going to be spending our time mostly in verses 16 and 17 tonight. Beginning in verse number 13, the Bible says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and it shall, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death." Father, I thank you tonight for the word of God, and I pray that you'd use it for your honor, for your glory tonight. Meet needs and lives. Empower us, Lord, and prepare us for those people we'll meet this coming week and be able to share the gospel with, be able to talk to about the Word of God, about the Scriptures, about the Jesus of the Bible, about heaven, about hell, about eternal life, about the joy of serving Christ Jesus. Help us, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you tonight. We're glad that you're here. We notice this portion of Scripture. We want to talk tonight about a sin unto death. And then perhaps next week we'll look at another subject, a sin not unto death. But our text tonight, let me say to start with, is not speaking of the unpardonable sin or what we call the sin of blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. That's not what's being talked about here at all. Because we know, as we've studied before, that the unpardonable sin or the sin of blasphemy of the Holy Ghost cannot be committed by a saved person. And here in our text, the Bible says, if any man see a brother sin, verse number 16. And so just that in itself tells me that he's not talking about the unpardonable sin. He's not talking about eternal life here. He's not talking about heaven. He's not, unless it would be under the guise of going there earlier than what he had originally planned for us. Now, as we look at this portion of Scripture, we find that John does not say some things. First off, he does not say, if any man see his brother sinning, go tell the pastor and let him handle it. Doesn't say that. But when a person comes and tells the pastor about sin in a person's life, the pastor is kind of stuck. Whether he knows what's really happening or not, he has to about some way or another deal with it, talking to the Lord about it, maybe talking to the person about it and that has committed the sin or the report of sin being committed by him. So, but John doesn't say to do that. That's not the way it's supposed to be handled. He doesn't say, if anyone see his brother sin, call up your friends and family members and pray about it together. Doesn't say that. That's sometimes a guise for just a very thinly disguised method of gossiping many times. I've seen church services and prayer meetings turn into gossiping sessions, and that's not what God's about. That's not what he's about at all. We know that sometimes people, you know, you can say about anything you want to about a person if you just say at the end of it, God bless him. God bless his heart. May God bless his heart. And that's supposed to just wipe out all the uncomfortable things that were perhaps said about a person. But John doesn't say to do that. And he does not say if anyone sees his brother sinning, let him shake his head in disgust and ask the question, how could they possibly do that? Which is really judging another person's servant. And the Bible warns us about that. In Romans chapter 14, verse 4, it says, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. So as we think about what John doesn't tell us to do, we need to consider what he tells us to do. First off, he says, if we see a brother sin is sin that is unto death or is not unto death, whichever one of the two ways you read it, and read both ways in that portion of Scripture. He says, first off, he says, is not unto death. And then he says, a sin not unto death. And then he says, a sin unto death. And then he says in verse 17, a sin not unto death. So he's talking about both sins, a sin not unto death and a sin that is unto death. And somebody might say, well, that death is talking about spiritual death. That's talking about separation from God. People who believe you can lose your salvation want that to say that. But that's not what it says. That's not what it says. In at least the first three places, and I slipped up and didn't do verse number 17. I confess that to you, but I'm believing it will hold true there too. In verse number 16, there's three times the word death is used, and in all three places it means this. It means a permanent cessation of all vital functions, and thus is the end of life on earth as we know it. It speaks of the separation of the soul from the body and the end of earthly life. And so the Bible says there is a sin that precipitates physical death. And there is a sin that does not precipitate early death. And so we need to understand that. Now Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12 says, Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And so we know that death is inevitable. We are all going to die. It's appointed unto every man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And so we know that we must all, even as Christians, we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account, give an answer, give a reason of why we did what we did and why we didn't do what we didn't do and so forth. And we'll look at some of those scriptures perhaps a little bit later. Spiritual death, then, is the separation of the from the life of God forever by dying without ever being born again, without ever having eternal, everlasting, shall never perish life. Now, for some reason, when we read the Bible, we tend to put on a special pair of Bible reading glasses. Of course, we know that that's where the Mormons say they got the Book of Mormon. A fella had a special pair of glasses. Moroni told him where those were at, and he found them, and he put them on, and he could translate then these golden tablets, and that's where the Book of Mormon supposedly came from. But Baptists, too, must have a special pair of colored glasses that sometimes we put on so that the words that mean one thing anywhere else they're used must mean something entirely different when used in the Bible. We know that that doesn't make sense. God used the English language to preserve His Bible in for a purpose. He had a reason behind why He was doing what He was doing. Now, if you read an article in the newspaper, here's an article, you get your newspaper thrown up on your porch, or actually it's thrown over into the bushes, and you have to go out in your pajamas and pick it up, and it's wet and soggy and everything, and it won't even work now for the parakeet cage. But you get your newspaper, and you open it up, and you see an article there, and it says, 8 things that bring death. Most people are not going to spiritualize that. Most people are going to know that that article is probably talking about 8 things that will ruin your health and perhaps bring about an early death. Now, some of those things might be smoking. We know that smoking has been found to be harmful to your health. While I was still wrestling with those things, a preacher told me one time, he says, "Preacher, you can take in all the smoke you want, because it's not what enters the body that defiles the body, it's what comes out of the body." So he said, "You can inhale all you want, just don't ever exhale." Yes. If you were in that problem, it would not be as funny as it was tonight. Amen. So smoking would be one. Not exercising would be another. They found out that when people don't exercise, they start having problems with their joints, their knees, their ankles, different parts of their body, depending on what type of exercise they ought to be doing and are not, and that will sometimes precipitate an early death. How about this one? Stress. If you read an article that said 8 things that will lead to an early death, surely stress would be on there somewhere. And as quick as you saw it, you'd get stressed because you know you're stressed. Stress is one that perhaps would be there. Another might be maybe on the article, it has somewhere jumping out of airplanes is liable to lead you to an early death. And then it might say down, a postscript might say, not jumping when you should might lead to an early death. But there's all kinds of things that could be on that list. And we'd look at it and we'd say, well, those things are things that are going to precipitate an earlier death. Those things, a person will get sick, and then he'll get sicker, and then he'll get sickest, and then he'll die, and one thing or another like that. So there's 8 things that bring death, they said. Well, yet most people, when they read their Bible and they have their spiritual colored glasses in hand, they read about some sort of sin that brings death, and they put a spiritual twist on it, and they make it refer to spiritual death or to losing your eternal life or something of that fashion. Let me share with you that God was sadly mistaken when He said that He gave unto me eternal life. He gave it as a gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. When Jesus Christ gave to me, when the Father gave to me, when the Holy Ghost of God guaranteed to me eternal life, He did that as a gift to me. So now that portion of eternal life no longer belongs to the Father. It no longer belongs to the Son, and no longer belongs to the Holy Ghost of God. That portion of eternal life is mine, given to me as a gift, not for anything I did, not by works of righteousness which I have done, but according to His mercy, He saved me. He gave me the gift of eternal life. If there's anything I could do to lose it, God used the wrong word when He called it eternal life. Another place He calls it everlasting life. Another place He says they shall never perish. God made a mistake at least three times in the book of John when He said it was eternal, everlasting, shall never perish life if I could lose it. Someone says, well, you can't lose it, but God can take it. That would make Him a thief if it belongs to me. I say that reverently, but I say that very, very positively. If God gives me a gift, then it's no longer His. It belongs to me. And should God take that, that would make Him a thief. And we know that God is certainly not that. Now, certainly all sin ultimately leads to death. All sin does. That started clear back in the Garden of Eden, and there's been no one except Moses. Excuse me, not Moses. Enoch and Elijah that made it out of here without dying. And I believe that they're going to come back and die during the tribulation period of time, because the Bible testifies it's appointed unto every man once to die, and after this the judgment. And so that's another story, but I believe that's what the Bible teaches. All sins ultimately lead to death. So what John is talking about here are sins that would speed up the process of death. Now, I believe that we have an appointment. The Bible says it is appointed unto every man once to die. I have an appointment to get my hand worked on again. Trigger fingers bother me, and I called them the other day, and they said, we can get you in, and I think it's about 3 weeks before I can get in. And I would be very happy if they'd call me tomorrow and say, Mr. Sutton, you can come in Tuesday morning if you like. We've rearranged things, and we have moved up your appointment. That would thrill me. But if God called me tomorrow and said, your appointment with death was in 2000 and whatever, and we moved it up to next week, that would be sadly disappointing to me in some ways. And so there are some things I believe that God says can speed up the consequence of sin, which is called death. Now, for example, we all know that there are certain behaviors, we mentioned some of those, certain actions that can lead a person to an early grave. Besides that, there are even some sins that God says out of discipline He will take a person into eternity, even save people earlier than what He had planned. And so what we want to do now is we want to look at six different portions of Scripture at some specific things that God says will cause you to die early. Let's take our Bibles and go to the book of Acts chapter number 5. I guess I should maybe restate that just a little bit. God has said that there are these things that have caused people to die earlier than what they normally would have. I don't know that God has to follow through an exact suit with every one of these, but certainly these have affected people's lack of longevity for some time. Acts chapter number 5, we find the story of Ananias and Sapphira. And we know that story, but we're going to read it again tonight. Beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says, but a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back a part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan lied, or excuse me, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land while it's remained? Was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. We might note that in verse number 3, it says he lied to the Holy Ghost. In verse number 5, it says he lied unto God, indicating that the Holy Ghost is God. Verse 5, and Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came upon all them that heard these things. And the young man arose and wound him up and carried him out and buried him. It was about a space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them that have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. And she fell down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost, and the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband, and great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. Now, there are some people that believe that God killed them because he wanted that money and they didn't give it. I don't believe that. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns the wealth in every mine. The world is his and everything that's in it belongs to him. He's going to one day, if he has not already, he's going to one day make an oyster that's big enough to produce a pearl that's big enough to put on a gate that's 1,500 miles high. God is not bankrupt. God is not strapped for cash. God doesn't have to worry about borrowing money or anything of that nature. It's his. But God doesn't like being lied to. And I guess probably when it comes to lying to God, more people lie to God about money than about anything that there is, would be my guess. And the Bible testifies here that two people, because they lied, and then not only did they lie, but they agreed together to lie. And I think that may have made things even worse. That may have multiplied things, or it may have made things bigger and worse than what they were. When they took counsel together, I think they conspired, I think is the word, a conspiracy between the husband and wife to lie to God about how much money they'd given him. I don't think it would have mattered what the subject matter was. They had conspired together to lie to God, and God says, no, that's not going to work. And they died, both of them, within 3 hours of one another. There is a sin unto death. In chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, excuse me, 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 11. The Bible says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. I wanted to include this part because God says in this portion of Scripture that even if a person's work is destroyed, that person himself will be saved, yet so is by fire. Just as sure as a fire destroyed his bad works, he will be saved himself, and we need to rejoice in that. Now, if you stay in the same place you're at, and we'll continue reading in verse number 16, the Bible says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the temple of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Now, that's plain enough that even country boys can understand it. Here God says that if you're saved, you're the temple of the Holy Ghost. It's interesting again to note the time in which this was written. Early in the first letter to the church, it had all kinds of problems. And evidently there were some people there, I know there was because of another portion of scripture we're going to look at, that were not treating their body like they ought to treat their body. And the Bible says, he says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now it doesn't say that God's going to take the Spirit of God out of you if you defile the temple. You know, it's not like you started a fire in a building and everybody ran out. It's not like that. It's like you start a fire in a building and God lets the fire destroy the building. The Bible testifies that if any man, and we ought to pay attention to numerical words like any and all and every. The Bible says here, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. And I believe with all my heart that when a person defiles a temple, whatever it is that God says defiles a temple, God says, if you defile it and you just continue to do that and you take advantage of God and God's grace and God's mercy and God's patience, the Bible says, God says that he will destroy the temple. Now, if the temple is destroyed, the Holy Spirit of God is no longer within that temple. It goes back to the dust. The Holy Spirit of God, I believe, escorts the person, if he's saved, to heaven and then continues on his work, and that person has died early. There is a sin unto death. And then, if you will, go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 5. 1 Corinthians chapter number 5. And we're going to, again, for continuity, we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says it is reported commonly. This has gotten out into the neighborhood. The neighbors know about it. The people down the street know about it. The man at the meat market knows about it. The man at the fish market knows about it. The woman down at the laundry shop, she knows about it. It's commonly reported. It's reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as not so much as named among the Gentiles that one should have his father's wife. Chances are, and I don't believe I'm reading into the scriptures, it doesn't say that he's committing fornication with his mother. It says he's committing fornication with his father's wife. I believe this is probably his stepmother. And I may stand before God one time and he'll say, you came up with that conclusion on very thin ice. I still believe that. Knowing that I'm going to have to answer to God for it, I believe that he's talking about his stepmother. Verse 2, it says, and ye are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he hath that hath done this deed might be taken away from you. Now, when the Bible says here that they're puffed up, you see, this church had come to a place that all they could talk about is loving Jesus. We're so tolerant, and we're so careful, and we love everybody so much, and we don't care, you know, do your thing, you do your thing, I'll do my thing. You don't check on me, I won't check on you. Everybody's going to live in peace. Everybody's going to live in safety. Everybody's going to live in a wonderful, happy life. They were puffed up. They were proud of the fact that they didn't talk to one another about sin. They didn't deal with sin amongst themselves. As a body of believers, they didn't hold one another accountable to the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. They were proud of the fact that if you belong to our church, you do whatever you want to do. Dress the way you want to dress. Go where you want to go. Say what you want to say. Drink what you want to drink. Smoke what you want to smoke. Man, we're with God. We're with Jesus. We're not against anything or anybody. They were puffed up. That church is in existence today, several places. It says, you are puffed up and have not rather mourned. It should have broken their heart, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from you. For I verily, as absent in the body, but present in the spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that hath so done this deed, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. You want an ultimate verse for eternal security? There it is. God said, before I have to withdraw my spirit from this person, I'll actually take this person to heaven early so that his spirit can be saved in the day. Now, let me read this again, though. So your spirit may be saved in the day of our Lord Jesus, verse number 6. And verse number 5, I'm sorry. And so we see that there is a sin unto death. And the Bible speaks very plainly of it. And this sin unto death. And incidentally, when we think about fornication, the Bible says that if a man commits fornication, it says every sin that a man commits is outside the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. And so as a society today, we're living in a time when fornication is almost an everyday happening. It happens all the time. It happens in many places that you never suspect it coming. And little do they know that they're sinning against their own body when they do that. And it can precipitate a quicker death, an earlier death, than what they might have had otherwise. I go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Again, beginning in verse number 1, the Bible is going to give us a list of things that happened in the Old Testament. And he says in one place that they were examples. He says in another place that they're examples for us upon whom the ends of the world are come. And so 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 is written more for us today than it's been written for anybody that's ever lived. And tomorrow it'll be more for us then than it is today, because we're closer to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the sea and in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But, you know, here the Bible says that they all had the same advantage. They all had the same opportunities. God played equal with all of them. One of them couldn't say, but I didn't know. One of them couldn't say, but I didn't have. One of them couldn't say, but I didn't think. He says, but, verse 5, with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. You see, when someone is overthrown in the business of serving God, when they're genuinely saved and they once served the Lord and now they don't, they have been overthrown. That does not please God. That doesn't ring God's joy bells. It doesn't do that. It says, with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. I'd say verse number 8 says God's pretty serious about sexual sins. 23,000 died in one day. Verse 9, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples. They are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. And so God gives us a pretty good list there of things that he said are sins, that are sins unto death. They're sins that cause death to come. And then if you will, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, and we look here at the story of Paul remembering the Lord's Supper, instituting the Lord's Supper here, taking the church back to that supper table, talking to them about it, and he's very plain with them. He says in verse number 18, for first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. Paul said, I hear some things, I partly believe them. I don't know if he's saying there, I don't know if he's being polite or if he's saying, I don't believe everything I've heard, but I believe enough of it that it troubles me. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken, what? Have ye not houses to eat and drink in, or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. There is a sin unto death. And we've named several of them. And I don't think that that's all of the list. I think we could add other things to the list. But I think it ought to be enough to behoove us to ask the Lord, are the things that I'm doing that could precipitate me dying early? Now, I know that any time you preach a message like this, you pray for 2 weeks that God doesn't let you have a motorcycle accident, which I probably won't have, by the way. Because I was going to say, surely he violated his own preaching. But this is where we were in the book. This is what God said to deliver to you. And this I have. And so know tonight, there is a sin unto death. And I believe tonight that though in our text tonight, in 1 John chapter 5, it says, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask. I don't think if you see a brother sin in a sin that is unto death, I don't think there's any problem with you praying that God will open his eyes, that God will quicken his heart, that God will soften his understanding and help him to understand the terrible position he's putting himself in physically. I'm not sure that this portion of Scripture anyway gives you license to go talk to him. But I'm sure you have license to talk to God about him. And God is the one you ought to talk to about it. God is the one. We all know people who used to serve the Lord, or at least they had a pretense about it. And today it seems like they're not. I think we ought to talk to God about some of those people. I think we ought to pray about some of those people. And then we certainly ought to ask God not to help or to help us not to join the ranks of such people that used to be serving God and today are not. Let's pray. Father, I thank you tonight for the Lord Jesus. I thank you for the Word of God. And I pray, Lord, that in the simpleness of the message, you'd help us to understand that there is a sin. And Lord, probably a list of, we probably named 12 or 15 anyway tonight. There is a sin unto death. And Lord, I pray that we'd be students of the Word of God, that we would study to show ourselves approved unto you. Lord, sometimes we study to win an argument. Sometimes we study to make a point. Sometimes we study because we have to preach. But Father, we are supposed to study so that we can show ourselves approved unto you, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And should any of this group, should any of Bethel Baptist Church get caught up in these things we've looked at, Lord, it would be a shame to you. It would be a shame to our church. It would be an embarrassment to our church, insulting to our church. And so, Father, I pray that we'd be busy about praying for one another, holding one another up, Lord, visiting one another, fellowshipping, studying the Word of God together, living the Word of God together, sharing the Word of God with other people together. Help us to busy ourselves about your business, Lord, so that sin doesn't have the reign and the rule over us that it might otherwise have. Give victory tonight. We pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's